dependence upon the Lord for all needed help. I venture this morning to draw your prayerful attention to Romans chapter 10, verse 12, and the last part with verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 12, last part with verse 13. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Through the sparing mercies of our God, we, a company of poor and needy sinners, I believe, are gathered with one accord in one place in this time-honored sanctuary with this our chief concern. We would see Jesus. With thankfulness, we acknowledge the great goodness of our God in bringing us together on this anniversary day. And we would remember the years that are past, the blessing flowing through the ministry of the former beloved, highly esteemed pastor of this people, and now with our dear friend called upon to minister to this flock. In our reading, we observe this, the family, that whole family in heaven and in earth. Some on earth, in glory some, severed only till he come. Our mercy, our comfort, our confidence, our trust is this, the same Lord, the same Lord, that this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He changeth not. He, our God, faileth not. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And what a word that is, brethren. Whithersoever. And it leads me to this. even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I love it. Because I need my God to lead me, but most of all, I need his hand to hold me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. These lines of the hymn flowed sweetly into the soul this morning. This God is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as large as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. The same Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Oh, what more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Those three words in the Acts so dear to my soul. My first text at my home calls on the first Lord's Day I try to preach. This same Jesus. Friend, he's just the same. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I know the words were spoken in derision, but blessed be God, their words of truth. My friend, I thank my God that Jesus came to die for sinners. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This same Lord. So then, do I speak to a filthy, wretched leper? Full of it? Head to foot? Feeling yourself to be the vilest of the vile? Then I say to you, beloved, the same Lord, where are you in your leprosy? You say, I should be in hell. But, oh, I would come, says this poor soul, I would cast myself at the dear feet of Jesus Christ, and he is this same Lord. Lord, if thou wilt, Lord, I know thy power is mighty, almighty, but oh, is it thy will, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me, this filthy me, this sinful me, whole. Why, friend, what does Jesus say? What does he say now to that coming soul? I will be thou clean. He hasn't changed, friend. He's this same Lord. What a comfort this is. What sweet consolation. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Say unto her that warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned, and that she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, the same Lord. I sometimes wonder whether my dear people, I don't think they do, but grow weary of me quoting a word that I suppose hardly a Lord's Day or a sermon goes by, but it's so dear to my soul. All that the Father giveth me shall, all that word shall. Christ never died in vain. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Beloved, here is the word of the text. The same Lord. What comfort! And in heaven now, the work at Calvary finished triumphantly, complete, full salvation, invaluable blood, a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, the veil of the temple rent in twain from top to bottom, a way made open, the sword of divine justice is sheathed. And my friend, God is the just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. But the work he continues in heaven, in intercession, there is the Lamb in the midst of the throne, this same dear Jesus that poured out his soul unto death, whose precious blood was shed, who manifests such love that is incomprehensible, in that the vilest of sinners, he, the Holy One, should give his life, lay down his life, suffer the just for the unjust, in the place of poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. I say he's in heaven, this dear Redeemer, a man. There is a real man with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, from hands and feet and side. The same Lord. I've sometimes, yea, I've felt a poor, filthy wretch like me may venture where the blood is, may venture to that blood-stained mercy seat, may come as the word declares, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that we may find grace to help in time of need. That word boldly doesn't mean to say like the proud Pharisee, but it means to come confessing all, come just as you are, come in that little face that trembles in your breast, that puts forth the hand of faith, that cleaves to a precious Christ, that comes nothing, Lord. But sin I thee can give, nothing but grace shall I receive, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. The same Lord over all. We live in most solemn days, days of blasphemy, spiritual wickedness in high places. It seems, my friend, that the world is tottering to its ruin. The powers of Antichrist and wars and rumors of war. But this is our comfort and assured consolation. salvation that the same Lord over all. In Gower Street, as you may well know, engraved on the wall at the back of the chapel is this, Hallelujah, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. Beloved, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The kingdom is the Lord's. Jesus, the risen, triumphant Redeemer, said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, over all. And I do not wish to lift this word or any word of God out of its setting, but surely the church of God, the flock of Christ, that little flock, they look up and see above all the clouds of evil, error, blasphemy, wickedness, devils, and all that may cast you down, to see that the Lord is over all. And the very purposes of Satan, he overthrows. The persecution of the church in ancient days and in present time is used for the furtherance of the gospel. Even bonds of the poor minister sometimes used for the liberty of some poor bound soul in the congregation. My friends, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've read those wonderful words, in all these things we are. It seems incredible, but it's true. Faith would lay hold on it. The worm Jacob, that bruised reed, that smoking flax, that little one that fears God with a real Holy Ghost religion, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. And let me just add this, the same Lord over all, these more than conquerors, that one found in Romans chapter 8 that knows something about spiritual groanings, that's the path to heaven. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, my friend. The Spirit itself intercedeth for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But then I look at this word, over all, in the heart of his dear children. Now you see, friend, some will speak very glibly, lightly, easily of the gospel and of the death of Christ and the love of the Savior. But my friend, if this is real, if the work of grace is that of the Spirit, as it must be, then such who are born again, favored with the love of Christ, will seek that not only to know their sin forgiven, but that the Lord may reign in their heart, take full possession of them in their life, their spirit, their words, their walk, their work, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. As the apostle says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your bodies, that's everything that you've got, everything that God has given you, that Christ may be magnified in my body, whether for life or for death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For the same Lord over all. Earnestly do we pray that the Lord may thus reign in our heart and put under his feet all that is which is dishonorable under his name. Subdue our sinful lusts, our pride, all that is of self. Dear George Rose, he used to preach here, I believe, on occasions such as this. One day a dear man said to him, "Mr. Rose, the way gets narrower and narrower." Dear old Mr. Rose said, "Friend, it does. And it'll be a mercy if we get smaller and smaller." That's it. Oh, that men may take knowledge of us that we've been with Jesus. And then this thought. The same Lord over all, the head of the church, may all be done, cleaving to the truth, holding fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for the honor and the glory of his great and holy name. For the same Lord over all is. My old pastor used to make much of these little words, and so would I too. All these little words, is. Why, it leads us to this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, it's always with us. Is every moment of your life, dear believer, is every step of the path, is every breath you draw, that this word stands true. The Lord is. He giveth power to the faint. Giveth. We read of this in the Word of God. My help cometh. See it? Cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth, ever flowing, never failing, underneath, the everlasting arms. Friend, you'll sink very low to find them sometimes. Wasn't it, Mr. Frank Gosden, once in early days, was in such trouble, said, "Lord, if there's anything more, I shall sink and rise no more." And when he got back from his business, there was a greater trouble than ever before. And he said, "Sink I did into the everlasting arms." Friend, it's out of the depths that I cry unto the Lord. It's out of those depths that you prove the reality of a God-given Holy Ghost wrought religion in your soul. And you can put across your Bible T&P, like the dear old woman, tried and proved. And like dear Mr. Reg Honeysett, recently taken to glory, could testify this: "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." For the same Lord over all is rich. What a word, friend. Now, to whom is this word attractive? I'll tell you, it's to a poor sinner. But how poor are you? A dear friend, many years ago, giving testimony before the church at Tamworth Road, made mention something to this effect. He said, friends, we read of a poor man, and we may think of a poor man that has just a little. We still say he's poor, but he's got a little. We also read of what may be spoken of as a poor man with nothing at all. And he said, friends, that's me. Ah, I believe the arms of that church in love and affection were stretched out, receiving that dear friend. They're the ones we can receive into a church, the nothings, those whose hope is in nothing but Jesus Christ. Yes. So these riches, I want just first then to look at what we are and why we need these riches. And oh, the wonder that there are these riches and that they're free, they're without Christ. And therefore the worst of sinners, the vilest of the vile, the poorest of the poor. Why, my friend, I love that word in Isaiah. When the poor and needy. Is that you, poor sinner? Do you say, Lord, I can come in there, that's just me. Well, then there's two more descriptions about you then. When the poor and needy seek water, you're seeking and you're thirsty. And there's a blessing for you. The Lord says, I will hear them. Their tongue faineth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord, their God, will not forsake them. I'll open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. And my friend, he's done it. The riches of his grace in the flowings of the precious blood from the wounded side of Emmanuel on the cross. And forthwith there came blood and water. But I say first and this character. Oh, it's a great mercy to be a feelingly poor sinner and with nothing at all. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. A poor, guilty sinner. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Hearken, beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, that he promised of them that love him. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. And one says, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. So, beloved, here are riches for the poor. You see the hypocrite, the artificial religion, man-made religion. He knows no poverty. He's got a house. He's built it on the sand. What a beautiful house it is, he says. Oh, he can come right up in the front and pray a long prayer. Oh, what a great Christian I am. And so we could enlarge. May God preserve us. God preserve us from it. But my friend, what about that poor thing right at the back there? He's bowed. What about that woman that's there, bowed down in double, as it were? Cannot in any wise lift up herself. Ah, there's a word for her. God be merciful to me, a sinner, is the agonized cry. So, my friend, here are these riches. And in meditating upon this, I thought of that word. My pastor gave it to me when I was received into church fellowship, and my friend, I proved it. And yet I still have fears. I'm ashamed of them. My God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. But in meditating on this word, I was very struck in the epistle to the Ephesians of how the Holy Ghost sets before us these wonderful riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, friend, that is overwhelms all our sin. We can never measure our sin. We can never speak of how deep stained it is, how dark it is, how dreadful it is. But here's something above all our sin: the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, in what way are those unsearchable riches communicated in harmony with the justice of our God to the vilest of sinners? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And my dear pastor used to quote those lines. It's one line in the hymn. Invaluable blood. Is it so to you? Is it more than anything else to you? That precious blood of the Lamb. Do you know what just flows into my poor heart this morning? And it's this, my brethren. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not ye, this is it, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Such value that Jesus gave himself, his blood shed on that cross, invaluable blood, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Oh, friend, is this attractive to your soul? Because I'm just coming to this point now, as we may be out. These riches, who are they for? Unto all, not just to some of the family, not just to all the family for a day, but the whole family of God, right through life, right through death, right through a never-ending eternity. And it's those that call upon him. So I'm going to link this, as the Lord may help me now, as we've just named our God rich in mercy, and it's to them that call upon him. It's that one that we've just named. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And what about you, blind Bartimaeus, outside the walls of Jericho? You hear a noise and you ask what it means. You're told it's Jesus passing. Oh, as soon as he hears that name, friend, oh, his heart breaks forth into agonized petition, a cry. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, friend, and they try to silence him, and they'll try to silence you, and the devil will say, it's no good you praying, it's no good you seeking, it's no good you coming, it's no good you coming to Christ, you're not one of the elect. Friend, if there's this cry in your poor heart, you're one of the elect. And what proof have I? The word of God. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? There it is. And that word I quoted, all that the Father giveth me, there's the elect, shall come to me. And that's the way they come, with weeping and supplication, with a burdened soul, and with an agonized cry, seeking mercy, and coming with this: mercy through blood I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me. Now here is this same God over all, who is rich unto all that call upon him, the mercy of our God, and that door of mercy is never closed. And it will be one day when time shall be no more, when you draw your last breath. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, that opened the channel of mercy for me. And this leads us to this, as the apostle says here, in whom we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace. What blood, my dear Saviour, thy blood, to wash away my filthy, dreadful sins. I'm just reminded of another dear friend more recently giving testimony before us. And yes, it was following, and I may say to the glory of God, the ministry of your dear pastor, too, right away from one of these little country chapels, you know. This set time, friend. And there, as her soul was blessed with the love of Christ and the sweet token of the pardon of sin and joy flowing in, she told us, yes, and sorrow. How could sorrow come at a time like that? She saw a little what her dreadful sins had cost the Saviour to put away. Yes, it's love and grief, my soul dividing with my tears. His feet are bathed. Rich grace. Grace taught my soul to pray, pardoning love to know. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day and will not let me go. Oh, friend, who can measure his riches? Inexhaustible. And oh, the wonder of it, they're so freely and they're so fully bestowed upon poor sinners. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Oh, friend, and there's no one else. To whom, dear Jesus, to whom shall needy sinners flee but to thyself, who bids us come, our springs are all in thee. And this is the mercy, friend, that the work of grace begun will never and fail. It will be performed because of the riches of his grace to poor sinners. Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why to my soul did he convey the wonders of his grace? And wouldn't you then, friend, as you see those unsearchable riches flowing into your poor soul, longing to taste more and more and yet more, praying as we've read in that third portion this morning, that ye may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, the wonder of it. And I feel this, Lord, I feel to be just full of sin, full of blackness and filth and putrefying sores. But oh, that precious blood that cleanseth from all sin as far as the east is from the west, so far that he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, the depth both of the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever. Beautiful word. My friend, this is the gospel. And I think of that word at the close of Scripture, which says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And my friends, we preach it with a full heart. We are assured that free will never will see Christ, but a sinner brought under the power of God's grace, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. That thirsting soul, that longing one, that one with an aching void the world can never fill, is this one, this whosoever. And my friend, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who is that whosoever? I will take you for a moment in meditation into the wilderness and see the serpent-bitten Israelite and see them dying and perishing and never lose sight of this. Much people of Israel died. There's a tendency for us to look at that scripture and say, oh, well, they sinned, and then God made a provision and all was well. But my friend, some of them perished in that wilderness. Their carcasses were buried there. But God made a provision. And that whosoever, it could be the one at the extreme end of the camp, it could be the one, the vilest, the poorest, it could be the richest one in a natural way, it could be the one whose eyes were near closed in death. It was to look and to live. And my friend, it's the look of faith. And here is life. Here is the light of life of which I was trying to speak to our dear people on Lord's Day. Light shining in your soul, showing your sin, and shining on the Savior. And my friend, it's life. It's faith. It's all bound up as one. It's coming just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. For whosoever, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And what does that name mean to you? Oh, you say, that name is dear to my soul. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. In a believer's ear, it soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and then this comes to mind, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so, friend, is it just you and the Lord? Is it you as a vile sinner seeking the Saviour, calling upon the name of the Lord, this mighty Jesus, able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them? And what is the word? Shall be saved. Friend, this is the word of our God. It will never be broken, and this we may rest with sweet assurance, saved with an everlasting salvation. Here is the assurance of the blood shed to put away thy sin. Here is a robe of righteousness to cover thy, take away thy filthy garments and cover thee. Here, my friend, is grace all sufficient. Here is strength made perfect in weakness. Here is thy unfailing God. Here is thy Jesus who says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, or rather that is risen again, that maketh intercession for us in my reading this morning. We came to this, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Is Jesus standing with you, friend? But since my Saviour stands between in garments dyed in blood, is he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. He, our Saviour, shall stand at the right hand of the poor, standing for them, facing that fierce accuser, and enabling you to say, yes, I can face my fierce accuser and say, Christ died for me to save him from them that condemn his soul. So then, the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One concluding thought. And my friend, this salvation is a full salvation. Salvation from sin, the demands of the law, the justice of God, the power of Satan, who delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into his kingdom, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And this is a salvation in every time of trouble, every hour of persecution, under every burden you may carry, every dark path you may tread, every deep valley through which the Lord may cause you to pass. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. I will be with him. Oh, my pastor comes to my mind again. He used to say, yes, in Psalm 91, God commands his angels to be with and over his people. But when he's in trouble, look at the I am. I will be with him. I will deliver him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Shall be saved. And don't we need to be saved from a world that can attract our lusts of our flesh and entice us and ensnare us like Samson on Delilah's lap? Don't we need to be saved from the dreadful power of unbelief? Don't we need to be saved from black and gloomy despair? Don't we need to be saved from cowardice when we are called to bear reproach for Christ's sake? Don't we need to be saved every moment of our life, kept by the power of God? And my friend, here's this full salvation. And here are these wonderful riches. And I close with these words. As the apostle again says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's revealed in the work of grace in a sinner's heart, in the application of the precious blood, in the sweet assurance that Jesus is mine. And it will be, my friend, fully displayed in glory at last, when in the ages to come, and oh, as we think of the riches of his grace and think of those mansions he's gone to prepare and of the eternity of happiness and peace and joy, oh, what can we say even to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
conclude this service by singing hymn 956. 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us. Amen.
I just say, friends, that lunch is served in the Sunday school at the side, and you're almost welcome to go across and stay with us for a meal.